Welcome to the Power to Change Today. I'm Gregory Dickow, and I've got a word for you that I know is from God that is going to help you heal you everywhere you're hurting today. I want to share with you the number one secret to finding healing from all the pain that you may be experiencing in your life or your family. Everyone knows what it's like to live with pain, but today we're going to see what life can be beyond the pain. It's time to live beyond your pain, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, perhaps the pain of a bad upbringing or mistreatment or abuse or an addiction of some sort or whatever you're going through. Today's program is going to help you blow past your pain and become the best version of yourself the way God intended. You know, sometimes instead of relieving our pain, we relive our pain. And it's time to stop reliving it and start relieving it. And I believe that because Jesus paid the price for our pain, whether it's physical or emotional, we can now take a hold of it. Remember, grace makes it, God makes it available, and faith takes it. We're going to take our healing today. I know you're going to be inspired to see beyond your pain and to live beyond the sickness, beyond the depression, beyond the lack, beyond defeat. So take a moment, grab your Bible, and get ready to live life beyond the pain. Check this out, and I'm going to pray for you at the end of this, at the end of today's broadcast. Watch this. Everything goes down this downward spiral of disorder when you don't live from the purpose for which you were created. And what were you created for? To glorify God and to be thankful. So what happens? You become futile in your thinking and your heart becomes foolish. And what's a foolish heart? A foolish heart is a heart that makes bad decisions. A foolish heart is a heart that is not a wise heart. A foolish heart, a wise person makes good decisions, a foolish person makes bad decisions, and it's our decisions that determine the outcome of our lives. And our decisions are the byproduct of what we're thinking. So our thinking produces our emotions and our decisions, and so if we can deal with our thinking, get in the right mind. What is the right mind? The right mind. He was clothed in his right mind. What was he doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. What does that mean? He was glorifying God and he was being thankful. He was glorifying God and he was being thankful. He was glorifying God and he was being thankful. Guess what happened? He ended up being clothed and in his right mind. But we have a ton of Christians, and of course non-Christians as well, but a ton of Christians that are neither glorifying God nor are they thankful. We have so many Christians that are negative, that err on the side of negativity and pessimism, and they get so caught up in what's happening in the world and the government, and we forget that we're of a different kingdom, that the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ are the kingdom that we're a part of. We're a part of the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our Lord is Jesus. Our King is Jesus. Our Savior is Jesus. Our governor is the Word of God. Our judge is God, and he's determined that the judgment has fallen upon the Son and fallen upon the Savior, and he will never judge you, and we are free from the wrath of God if we accept Jesus and step into the ark of his protection called the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. All right? That'll make you thankful. That'll make you glorify him. But in the absence of glorifying him and being thankful, what happens is we create a disorder in our minds. So we create a mental disorder. Ah, now you see where this is going. Why is this world so screwed up? Why is this world so nuts? Why is this world so crazy? Why are there shootings in malls and shootings in churches and shootings in places and all these things? And thank God we have a covenant with God. We believe in a divine covenant of protection. And we also believe in using wisdom. So when you see a police officer in our building, just know that's a part of wisdom. When we have officers that you can recognize, and we have those that you won't be able to recognize, but know this, that we have angels in the spirit and we have angels in the natural. And that's how a church should be. And that's how a church should function in America and any free society. So, but why is all this happening? Because where there is a mental disorder, there will be behavioral disorders. Behavioral disorders are the result of mental disorders. And you say, well, is this a psychology class? Is this college? No, this is better than college. Number one, you don't have to pay tuition. Just honor God with your tithe. Number two, the teacher's not a bad dude. And your teacher is not crazy, and your teacher is not bringing you some weird thing that he learned in college. I didn't go to Bible college. I went to Bible university by reading it myself, figuring it out through the school of hard knocks and through trial and error and, you know, reading it and meditating on it and figuring this thing out. And if tongues is really of you, Lord, you're going to have to show me in this Bible. And if I don't see it in this Bible, I'll never speak in tongues another day in my life. But if I see it in this Bible, I'll never not speak in tongues another day in my life. If healing is not in the Bible here, Lord, I'm not going to preach healing. But if it's in the Bible, I'm going to preach healing, and I'm going to expect people to get well. You say, well, why don't people get healed in all the churches in the world? Well, why don't people get saved? If people don't talk about salvation, nobody's going to get saved. How can they hear without a preacher? If people don't preach about healing, nobody's going to get healed. Right? If we don't preach about blessing, no one's going to be able to take a hold of the blessing. Right? So that's another topic for another day. My point is disorderly behavior comes from mental disorder. So mental disorders create behavioral disorders. That's how it works. A disorder is a mental condition that affects your mood, your thinking, and your behavior. Examples of this include some of the things we talked about last week: depression, anxiety disorder, schizophrenia, eating disorders, addictive behaviors. Mental disorders account for 4 out of the top 10 causes of disability in U.S. and worldwide. 4 out of 10 disabilities are mental disabilities. Manic depression, clinical depression, bipolar disorders. Did you know that 9 out of 10 inmates in the United Kingdom have been tested for mental health disorders? They have a mental health disorder. In America, it's 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10 prisoners, inmates in prison, have a mental disorder. Does that mean we should let all of them go out? No, because unless we used to have a system where there were more mental institutions where people could be treated, and I am all for treatment of every kind that brings healthy results in a person's life. But we will never solve this world's problems until we realize that behavioral disorders, violence, hatred, murder, shootings, killings, destruction, addictions, suicides, all of the hate and domestic violence and in society and in our families and in our world, until we realize that all of those are a result of mental disorders, and a mental disorder is the result of your thinking being out of alignment with God's thinking. But as soon as you get your thinking in alignment with God's thinking, now you have mental order, and then you'll have behavioral order rather than behavioral disorder. This is how it works. This is how it works. So I go on and on about the disorders in the world. 1 in 4 adults suffer from a diagnosable mental disorder in any given year. More than 90% of people that commit suicide have been diagnosed with a mental disorder. And on we go. People that are burning themselves, cutting themselves, carving themselves, hurting themselves. Shows 23% of adolescents have done that and have injured themselves. 10% of third graders injuring themselves. 15% of ninth graders injuring themselves. Eating disorders, 8 million people. 40 million people in America suffer from anxiety. Heroin addiction among 18 to 25-year-olds has doubled in 10 years. I know I gave you these statistics, but we cannot ignore this stuff, folks. 350 million people worldwide suffer from depression, at least. These are the people that have admitted it, not even including the people that are suffering silently and have no one to talk to and are living in loneliness, which, by the way, was the first thing, the first condition of man after God created man, the first condition that man that God recognized was not a good condition in mankind was that it's not good for man to be alone. Loneliness is the greatest form of poverty. It's a greater form of poverty than being without money. You know, if you're with people you love, you don't mind sharing a piece of crust of a bread. But when you're alone, it doesn't matter if you have a feast before you. You are still the poorest person in the world. And that's why God gives us the church. It's not perfect, but it's God's body. It's not perfect, but it's God's way. It's not perfect, but it's God's idea. It's not perfect, but it's the hope of the world, is the church. Being a part of a spiritual family, a spiritual home. That's order. If you're a loner, that's because that results in disorder. If you're somebody that is a recluse and you don't like anybody ever knowing anything about you, there's a disorder there that in your mind you feel like a victim and you feel rejected, and as a result, it will result in things, behaviors that hurt other people, because hurt people hurt people, right? We can solve this stuff. 20 million substance abusers in America. A person commits suicide in the world every 45 seconds. 1 million people a year. 1 in 4 women suffering domestic violence. Youth violent deaths 10 times more in America than any other industrialized nation. Why is this happening? It's because the world is out of order. Society is out of order because of mental disorders. Why was this guy cutting himself? Why was this demon-possessed man cutting himself? Why was he breaking chains and being violent? Why was he a loner living among the dead? Why was he yelling out and screaming at people and bringing fear and terror to the people around him? Why? Because he was not in his right mind. What was the remedy? Come to Jesus, sit at the feet of Jesus, you'll be clothed and in your right mind. What happened after that? He wanted to go share the gospel of what happened to him to everybody he came in contact with. And what did Jesus tell him to do? Take it to your house first. Before you go into the world and preach the gospel, take it to your home. Go back to your neighbors. Go back to your friends. Go back to your family. Let them see what the good that God has done for you. Because nobody will appreciate the miracle that has happened in your life more than the people who already knew what you were like before Jesus delivered you. So the greatest form of evangelism is for us to go to the people that knew us before we were saved and see them as our mission field. If you can't convince them, like me, this demon-possessed kid, this drug-dealing kid, this addictive kid, me, this kid that was suicidal, depressed all the time. Me, this kid that was drunk every day, 3 times a day. Me, this kid that everybody knew who I was. What good, after I got saved, what good am I going to do in Africa where people only see me as a new creature in Christ? Maybe one day that was what God would call me to, and I've been there many times, but my point is, who am I going to make the biggest impact on? The people that I went back to and they go, wait a minute, who are you and what did you do with our nephew? Who are you and what did you do with our cousin? Who are you and what did you do with our son? Who are you and what did you do with the old Greg? What did you do with that druggy Greg? What did you do with that burnout Greg? What did you do with that loner Greg? What did you do with that? I didn't do anything with him. Jesus killed him and raised up a new person in me, and I'm a new creature in Christ. If any man is a new creature in Christ, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Here, look. Touch me. I don't hate you anymore. Look at me. I'm not mad at you anymore. let me pray for you. I'm not trying to get rid of you anymore. I'm not angry at you anymore. I'm not selling you drugs anymore. Well, I do have some leftovers and I need the money, so I will. Oh, man. Let me show you something. Go back over to Matthew chapter 24. We tie some stuff together to some things we talked about in the last few months. Matthew chapter 24, look at what he says in verse 10. And in the last days, Jesus talks about this, and many will be offended. Remember we talked about this? Many will be offended. And then notice what happens. They will betray one another and will hate one another. Now notice the progression. Being offended is not a physical thing. Being offended is not a behavior. Being offended is an emotion that is the result of a thinking pattern. It's an emotion that is the result of how you perceive what somebody has said about you or what somebody has done to you. So notice there is a mental condition called being offended here. It is a mental condition. It is in his mind, it is in his heart, or is in a person's mind, it's in their heart. Many, not just a few, many will be offended. And then notice what happens. A mental disorder of being offended results in a behavioral disorder of betraying others and then hating one another. And what does hate result in? Hate results in murder. Hate results in death. Now, it may not always result in physical death or physical murder, but hate murders a marriage. Hate murders relationships. Hate murders success. Hate murders joy. Hate murders peace. Hate is a murderer. And this is the result of a mental disorder. What's the mental disorder? Being what? Offended. In verse 10, what does it say? Many will be what? Offended. That's the mental disorder. And then what does that result in? Behavioral disorder. We betray one another. There was disloyalty. We don't know how to operate in relationships. We don't know how to resolve conflict. We don't know how to get along. We don't know how to have peace with somebody of another color or another age group or another nation or another nationality or another race or another background or somebody who comes from something you didn't come from and another social status and social class. You can't relate to them. You can't resolve things. Somebody does something that offends you and now you are a candidate for betrayal. You are a candidate for poor relationships. In fact, not only a candidate, you will have poor relationships when you're offended. Being offended will result in betraying one another. It will result in bad communication, bad relationships. When you're offended, you don't hear what I'm saying. You're only nursing your pain. If I've offended you, then you don't hear the truth coming from my soul and coming from the Word of God that I'm teaching. You see it twisted. You look at it through a veil. You look at it through a lens of emotional pain because of what you now attribute to me as the cause of your offense, when really the reason why any of us get offended is because we have expected too much of people and not expected enough from God. Because when you, listen, the reason I get offended at you, if I get offended at you, it's because, whoa, what you just did to me, that has so much power over me, and that's why it is affecting me so much. But when I exalt your power, I will be subjected to your flaws and weaknesses and mistakes in my life. But when I exalt God's power, then it makes what you did to me moot. It brings to pass what Joseph was able to say in Genesis 50, verse 20, when it says, you, and he's speaking to his brothers, because, you know, the people that betray us are usually the people that are close to us. I'm not saying don't get close, because those are the people that are going to betray you. I'm saying, if a stranger does something wrong to me, That's not going to shock me, but if a close friend does, or a relative, or somebody that I love and I thought loved me, that's what hurts the most, right? But you meant evil against me, but notice his perspective, but God meant it for good. In other words, what was the difference between him and somebody else? The difference was that Joseph's perspective was that God was bigger than man, and that God's power was bigger than man's power. Man's power sold Joseph into slavery, but God's power elevated Joseph into a position of authority. Man's power put Joseph in a pit, but God's power put Joseph in a palace. Man's power put Joseph down, but God's power raised Joseph up. And the question that you have to ask yourself is, whose power are you trusting in? Are you trusting in what man can do to you, or are you trusting in what God can do to you? And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, that's why he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He was saying, look, there may be people against us, but it is trumped, it is mooted, it is irrelevant, it is of no value, it is of no effect when you know that God is for us. And he says, I love how he says, what shall we say to these things? We got to stop worrying about saying things to people, and we got to start saying these things to the things. The things, what shall we say to these things? He doesn't say, what shall we say to these people that hurt us? He doesn't say that. He says, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to the tribulation? What shall we say to the offense? What shall we say to our emotions? What shall we say to our fears? What shall we say to our distress? What shall we say to our pain? We shall say, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's what we need to be saying to those things.
Well, as you heard in today's program, wherever someone was in pain in the Bible, they cried out to God for mercy and they were healed. Now, in your life today, wherever there is pain, God's mercy is available to heal you and relieve you of your pain. Aren't you ready to stop reliving the pain and start relieving the pain? God's waiting for you to come boldly to the throne of His grace to receive the mercy. Mercy. Every time Jesus healed somebody, it was because of His mercy, not because we deserve it, not because we earned it. And so God's mercy is available to you, and His throne of grace is open 24 hours a day. Remember Jabez prayed that prayer. He said, oh God, that you would, because he was in pain. His name means pain. And he said, God, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that I would not bring pain. Now, I want to help you understand about these powerful truths. I want to help you understand how to experience the life of healing that God intended for you and the life of blessing that God intended for you. So I want to encourage you to sow your gift to the ministry today, and I want to bring some really powerful material to you so that when we partner together, you're going to help bring healing to this world, to orphans, to widows, to suffering children around the world. That's one of the biggest thrusts of this ministry, to minister to the orphans, the widows, and children that have suffered, that don't have clean water, don't have food to eat, don't have a roof over their head. Well, we're helping that change and bringing change to those precious children's lives. So when you sow your gift today, I want to send you my new series, It Is Well. It's all about healing from spirit to soul to body, along with one of my best-selling books, Taking Charge of Your Emotions, that walks you through every major emotion that you ever deal with, depression, anger, fear, you name it. It's in this book. And it will show you how to be free from that kind of pain. Emotional pain and physical pain is healing from both of those is available to you. I also want to send you the Prayer of Jabez prayer card so you can pray this every day. I love to do this, and it really has transformed my life. And so I want to encourage you to get this entire collection today. Make the gift, the best gift that you can make today, and or partner with me right now with your first monthly donation of $20 or more. I'll send you all of this material absolutely free for your first monthly gift. And when we partner together, we're capable of making so much bigger of an impact together than we could by ourselves. We are bringing the message of God's love, God's grace, and His healing to a lost, hurting, broken world. So just call the number on your screen. Tell them you want to partner with me today. I can't wait to pray over you every day. My announcer is going to tell you a little bit more about it. And don't change the channel. I've got another word for you. And I want to pray for you right after this. Watch this.
Are you feeling lost, broken, down on your luck, or defeated? If you're looking for spiritual, physical, or emotional healing, God has already ordained your supernatural and divine healing. You just have to ask for it and receive it. The question is, do you want it?
Jesus said one thing, do you want? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want it? In other words, Jesus didn't say, can I do it? Jesus said, do you want it? Jesus didn't say, can I give you the breakthrough in your family or the breakthrough in your home or the breakthrough in your finances? He didn't say, can I? He said, do you want this? I've got it available. I've made it available to you. But the real issue, the thing that's going to determine whether you walk in it or not, is do you want it? We must make a choice to want it. We got to want it. We got to say, I want this. And if your want to is broken, you got to ask God for the want to want to. And if your want to is broken, you got to ask God for the want to want to want to. And if your want to and want to is broken, you got to ask God for the want to want to want to want to. But God will meet you wherever your want to is. Do you want to be made well? It's not, can I do this? It's not, you know, is it my will? No, do you want, is it your will? God's question is it your will? Do you want it? I want it for you. I want you well, but do you want it?
In his powerful new series, It Is Well, Pastor Gregory Dickow will teach you all about God's supernatural healing. In each message, Pastor Gregory Dickow will teach you how to receive the divine and complete healing you need in every area of your life. And Pastor Gregory Dickow's book, Taking Charge of Your Emotions, will help you learn all about God's strength and control when it comes to your thoughts and emotions. This book will show you how to simply control your emotions, never be a victim of the devil's lies again. For your best gift of $30, Pastor Gregory Dickow's It Is Well collection can be yours today. When you order this collection today, your entire life will be completely transformed. Say goodbye to your pain and suffering. Those lies the devil tells you are no more. Your healing and transformation are here. God has already ordained for your supernatural and complete healing. Don't miss out on your chance to be changed forever. And when you order today, receive the Prayer of Jabez card completely free. This card will help you when you read it. As you pray the Prayer of Jabez daily, it will help lead you to your total life transformation. Order now.
Well, you are done dealing with your pain and living with your pain. From this day forward, healing reigns. Sickness and pain no longer are in control of your life. It's time for your breakthrough the way God intended and your healing the way God intended. There is more than enough healing, more than enough blessing, more than enough of whatever it is you need to be made whole again because of everything that Jesus did for you. I'm believing for your healing transformation today, and I just know today is the day it begins. Well, we're out of time, and I'm really excited that you joined me today. And remember, God loves you. I want to pray for you real quick. And I want to bless you today in Jesus' name. Lord, bless everyone watching today. Bless them indeed. Bring healing to their hurt wherever they're in pain. I thank you that you bore their pain on the cross, and by your stripes, they're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, contact me, call me, reach out to me. Let me know you're watching. I can't wait to hear from you, and I can't wait to see you on our next broadcast. Don't miss it. God loves you, and so do I. We'll see you then.
For your best gift of $30, Pastor Gregory Dickow's It Is Well collection can be yours today. Don't miss out on your chance to be changed forever. And when you order today, receive the Prayer of Jabez card completely free. This card will help you when you read it. As you pray the Prayer of Jabez daily, it will help lead you to your total life transformation. Order now.